From Cheyenne to Cody, from Gillette to Rock Springs, this is Let's Talk Wyoming, your weekly double dose of Wyoming politics. Because politics may be complicated, but we're here to break it down and help you make sense of it all. I'm Amy Edmonds, a former legislator from Cheyenne. Thanks for being here. Welcome to Let's Talk Wyoming. It's great to have you with me. It's another beautiful week here in the Cowboy State. Hope you're getting some moisture where you're at. We're getting moisture down here. Not enough, but we'll take what we can get. So first off, I want to say thank you. Truly, thank you for all of the comments I received after last week's podcast. I mean, I was a little overwhelmed with the number of emails, texts, responses. So last week's podcast was about fear, politics, and a discussion about that letter that was sent from our congressional, well, from our one of our senators, but our congressional delegation to judges and lawyers across Wyoming. And the feedback was overwhelming. I mean, overwhelmingly positive. I heard from a lot of folks I know, but I also heard from quite a few of you out there that I had never met before. So it's nice to meet you. I hope you continue you're continuing to listen. It really meant a lot. I appreciate all the kind words. This podcast is a little bit of a passion project, and knowing that it resonates with so many of you really, truly makes it worthwhile. I'm especially glad it got people thinking about the role of government, thinking about the role of the separation of powers and the interchange between the branches, and how we as Americans should rise above this pure partisanship to defend the Constitution by having courage. Right? Having courage. So I hope you did what I asked and thought a little bit about courage. I know many of you did because you responded to me. Some of you sent quotes. I love that. Again, I'm a reader of history, so keep doing it. It's not always easy, right, to have courage, especially, and it's not always easy even to step outside of partisanship, right? And I was thinking about this after all the responses, and because you know, we're often deep in the trenches fighting for issues that really, really matter. As Republicans, it's easy to focus on opposing the other side, right? We see, you know, the opposition party pushing policies we believe are harmful, and often they are. And that sparks a lot of passion. And here in Wyoming, it's oftentimes Republican on Republican fighting, yes. But that blind passion alone is not good for us, and it's not good for our state, and it's not good for our country. At some point, we all have to step back, think clearly, and be principled. And that's hard work, but it's really necessary work. So I'm glad this show gave some of you kind of a renewed and a fresh way of thinking about things. I think we have lost a lot of clarity in recent years. To the folks who contacted me and, you know, and said I've been in the MAGA movement for quite a while, and I'm beginning to sort of see the issues and step away from that a little bit. And so I'm glad you're listening. Keep listening. Keep writing. I'm happy to help in any way I can. So, okay, on to a new week and some interesting developments. So the Wyoming Republican Party is meeting in Cody this week, this coming weekend, to elect its new leadership team. So, well, to elect part of it. There's five top leadership teams. There's the chairman, the vice chairman, the secretary, I think it's the secretary they're called, the national committee man, the national committee woman. So those three positions will be elected this Saturday. Those three are the state chairman, the state vice chairman, and the secretary. The other two positions, the national committee man and the national committee woman, are chosen at next year's convention, which coincides with the election. The upcoming next year's election, where we have the governor, the top five elected folks on the ballot. So you've probably seen some news in the Cowboy State Daily about recent controversies in Hot Springs County and some other counties as well, and likely heard about the state party through their attorney, Brian Shook, essentially of informing counties that they won't be and don't have to and shouldn't follow the law regarding who can vote in the county level elections. So leading up to this coming weekend in Cody, where the state meets, the county parties have been having their elections because three of the five top people that they elect, they go to the state central committee and sit on it. So these elections have been happening across Wyoming. All the county ones are done, but you probably saw that controversy. So under Wyoming law, three specific positions in each county, the chair, the state committee man, and the state committee woman must be elected by elected precinct people. And if you've ever voted in a Republican primary, you will remember seeing kind of at the bottom of your ballot, these precinct person positions. And depending on what precinct you're in, you know, it'll say vote for two, vote for one, vote for five, whatever. And there'll be lists of names. Not always. Sometimes there's no list of names because they can't find anybody, but generally there are lists. I mean, where I live, gosh, I think we have five or seven precinct people. And it's usually a robust competitive slots. So, but those names really matter, right? These are folks who voluntarily run to represent their local Republican neighbors, and they're officially elected, just like the governor or your legislators, right? Now, they're elected solely on the Republican primary ballot. They don't go on, obviously, because it's a partisan position. The Democrats are doing the same thing at the same time on their Democrat ballots. For those of you who are Democrats listening, you've probably seen them as well. So that's what happens. So once elected, those precinct people, the three positions that I talked about, the county chair, the county committee man, and the county committee woman, they represent their county at the state level. So they go to the state meetings. That's the structure. And that's also the law around the structure. Now, the reason the law is not, doesn't really speak to the others necessarily, is that it's really about the folks that sit on the county level and the folks that sit on the state level. And we'll get to that in a minute as to why that's important. So in Wyoming, the state statutes are pretty clear. County party elections for those three positions, chair, state committee man, and state committee woman, must be decided by elected precinct people. I actually think, and I'll have to go check and I'll let you know, it's really important that those three key races, right? That's the law. It's a transparent process. It's a process that goes before the voters, and it really matters, and it's really important. So, like I said, just like electing your governor or your legislators, all of us, you, me, and everybody else out there, get to participate in that because their names are put on an actual ballot. So that's how it's supposed to work. But here's the problem. The state Republican Party, through its attorney, Brian Shuck, has effectively said that they don't have to follow that law. And they aren't following that law. As a matter of fact, they haven't been. But in these recent round of county elections, Brian Shuck sent out a letter to a couple of the counties, and he made the argument that these state statutes violate the U.S. Constitution's freedom of association, and therefore the party isn't bound by them. Yeah. And I'm sure you see the fault in all that. We'll get to that. In other words, he's saying, you know, we don't like this law, so we're not going to follow it. But, you know, that's not how this works. I can hold the opinion. Let me think of something that's a hot topic. I can hold the opinion that property taxes are unconstitutional. I can even decide not to pay my property taxes. But if I do, I'm breaking the law and I will have consequences for it. It's not going to go well for me, right? That's essentially what the state party is doing. They're saying, yeah, we don't like this law. We believe it's our opinion. It's our opinion. It's unconstitutional. So we're just not going to follow it. If it worked that way. That is not how it works. Not in any sense at all. So if the party really believed that the statutes were unconstitutional, the proper response isn't to defy the law. Obviously, we are Republicans. It's to challenge it in court or to change it at the state legislative level. Now, that challenge in court has already actually happened once. So it goes beyond them just breaking the law as it is. They've also gone against a Supreme Court decision. So in 2023, I believe, in Uinta County, a dispute over this very issue went all the way to the Wyoming Supreme Court. And while the court didn't weigh in on the constitutional questions, it didn't do that because the questions weren't asked in the lower courts, which is where they should have been. It's where the state party should have asked those questions. They did not do that. So the constitutional question was not answered, but it did make something very clear, which is that precinct elections must be decided by elected precinct members, that the statutes stand, and that state party bylaws do not override state law. Because the state party has a bylaw, because they put it into place saying that, oh, no, no, we can have non-elected people voting in these elections. They actually put that in the state bylaw. And it's one of the things they're also telling the counties is, hey, we have this bylaw. But here's the deal. State party bylaws do not override state law, right? And so, but here we are with the party acting on this attorney's opinion and ignoring the law. And I don't think they're acting just on the attorney's opinion. I mean, it's very obvious that the leadership and at least a majority of the members on the state central committee believe this. And, you know, it's just that kind of behavior sounds, I mean, this sort of subverting the law, saying we don't have to follow the law, that sounds something that you would see from lefties, from the political left, not Republicans. I mean, honestly, not Republicans. It's, after all, it has historically been the left that has embraced civil disobedience like that, from, you know, civil rights activists in the 60s disobeying laws, Vietnam, you know, draft dodgers and environmentalists blocking pipelines, to what we saw pretty recently with the pro-Palestinian folks on campuses, you know, breaking laws, ruining property, right? That's civil disobedience. Going beyond just being disobedient into actually breaking the law is not civil disobedience. But what I'm saying is that that's something we see from the political left. Civil disobedience does have a long lineage. I mean, obviously, it goes all the way back to Socrates. But it's been far more commonly employed by the left and the right. It's just not common in the Republican Party or amongst the right whatsoever. So what I would say, since we're Republicans, is if the Wyoming GOP thinks the law is wrong, they should litigate it. Or, like I said, they should go to the legislature and work to change it. But simply declaring the statute invalid because you don't like it, I mean, that's not conservatism, people. That's chaos. And that's crazy. Try that yourself. Hand the ticket to the cop and say, you know, I think this is unconstitutional. I'm not going to abide by it. That's chaos. That is not how our country works. That is not how our state works. And it is shameful that the state party, for the majority party, the Republican Party in the state, thinks it's okay to do that. Again, if the party doesn't like the current statutes on the books, it has options. Litigate it, petition the legislature to change it. I mean, that's the process, and it isn't a hard process. It's going to take some time, but they could do it. I mean, we just wrapped up a legislative session, folks, and during it, to my understanding, Mr. Shook, no one in the state party showed up or lobbied, didn't testify, didn't make a case that the statutes were unconstitutional, didn't even argue they needed to be revised. I didn't see it happen. I didn't see a single news story, not once. They could have done that. They could have just done that in January. But instead, they sent out this letter in March saying, nope, don't have to abide by it. Okay, I mean, this is a problem. It's a real issue. So let's talk a little bit about the State Central Committee and where this kind of this belief comes from. And these are my opinions, okay? This is what I think about it, because if you just trace it back to the facts around the cases, this is sort of my opinion. But, and again, when I talk about the party, I'm talking about the State Central Committee. And I'm also saying that this is not unanimous amongst the State Central Committee. There are members who obviously don't believe this. If you are in a county wondering how your county people feel, you should ask them. Ask your chairman, ask your state committee man, ask your state committee woman. Do you think we should follow the law? I think that's an important question. Don't let them distract you with, well, I think it's unconstitutional. Sure, it is. What's the proper way to handle that? Because yes, the U.S. Constitution protects freedom of association. That is true. That's absolutely true. But here's the problem with the comparison completely as they're trying to make it. You know, when they say we're just like the Elks Club, or when others make that argument that they're a private organization, well, they're not. Right now, as it stands, the Wyoming Republican Party cannot be a private organization. Okay? The Elks Club is a private organization. The Elks Club doesn't get to nominate three potential candidates for public office when there's a vacancy. That's what makes the Republican Party not private. Okay, the party has a statutory authority, and it comes with public responsibility. The Elks Club doesn't have that privilege. No private organization in this state has that privilege in statute. The Wyoming Republican Party does, because the state law gives it to them. So the party now wanting to claim some kind of full private status, no, that's not how this works. You don't get to have it both ways. If you want to be a private organization, fine. Go change the law. Go litigate it in court. Do one of those things. Obviously, changing the law is the least costly to the sad donors who keep giving you money and you keep churning it out in legal cases that you lose, right? Because the state party takes donations. That's how it funds itself. And they're not using that money to, I don't know, elect Republicans. They're using it to pay Brian Shook and to have lawsuits and pay other lawyers. So they can't be a private club right now as long as they have statutory authorities. They can't, but they're trying that. They're doing that. They're saying that. It's almost as if, in many ways, when I think about what this is about and what it is about, let's be clear, what the private organization cry seems to have come from, because it seems to have stemmed from these cases, this Uinta County case, and now there's a case in Hot Springs, and I'll get into that, is this idea that folks who are not elected at the precinct level should be allowed to vote. Okay. And it's almost as if they're avoiding the accountability of public elections, because that's what this all stems from. As if they want to stop relying on all the voters making the decisions for them, the very people who built and sustained the party are now not trusted by these GOP leaders, because this is where this all came from. You know, but why? I mean, why? I mean, why would they do this? Why would they care? Why would there have been this case in Uinta County? Well, I think it's because many in their inner circle can't get elected to these precinct positions in Wyoming. I mean, that's what happened in Uinta County. Some can, but some can't. I mean, they've lost races, and I get it. I mean, I'm sure that's frustrating. So in my mind, as you see what this all came from, and this has all come from this idea of electing precinct people. I mean, here in Laramie County, I've watched, you know, sort of the inner circle of the same group of people that are doing this that used to be in power in Laramie County. Now, we just had elections and those folks aren't in power anymore. And we've gotten more, I think, more sane leadership in the Republican Party in Laramie County. But at our last convention here in Laramie County, they were doing everything they could to weaken the control and power of the precinct people who are elected by all of us. They were constantly trying to change things to make it be folks that they could just appoint, right? Just folks that didn't put their name on the ballot. So they found a way to change their bylaws, to change the system where they get to handpick who gets to vote. And it isn't precinct people that you and I get to vote on. It's, you guessed it, friends and loyalists, people who already agree with them. That is not representative government. It's elitist. It's manipulative, and it's a betrayal of the party's own principles, especially the idea that the power comes from the people. The power comes from the people. The bottom line is this: if you want to vote on officers in the Republican Party, you should be someone who's gone before the people and earned their trust by getting elected. That's the standard. But it seems as though the state party doesn't want that standard. They want to bypass it. They want to go to this private club argument so that they can change rules. I mean, they've already changed rules. They don't want, you know, they don't want the statutes dictating to them. They want to say, we're a private club, we'll do whatever we want. But in the same breath, right now, they have statutory authorities. And those statutory authorities flow from state law, not from their internal club rule books. You can't just declare yourself sovereign while you still have these powers of the state where there's an expectation of public responsibility. Heaven forbid if something happened to our governor today or to one of our federal delegation today, the state party is in complete non-compliance with state statutes, but they would be the ones it would fall upon to nominate three people who would then be one of which would be chosen to fill that vacancy. And there is a strong case to be made that outside civic groups could probably come in and sue the state and say, yeah, no, no. So it calls into question anyone who would be put into place because of, heaven forbid, a vacancy. Right now, because they right now have that statutory authority, and yet they are right now trying to act as though they're a private club without going through the legal processes they should go through that we all have to go through. Okay? The state statutes delegate the authority to the Republican Party because it assumes the party will uphold certain standards, openness, fairness, due process. These aren't suggestions, people. These are expectations, okay, legal expectations. And when this issue is coming before other states, because this is not something new or unique to Wyoming, state Supreme Courts across the country have consistently ruled that once you're exercising a public function given to you through statute, the state has a legitimate interest in how you conduct yourself. Now, that's very narrowly defined, okay? And it's narrowly defined by simply those three people who are elected. How you elect your treasurer, how you, if you want to create 25 other positions and have them be able to vote on bylaws and vote on meeting notices and vote on any other stuff, the state doesn't get a right to come in and micromanage that. But what they do get to do is say these three people on your county and these three people that go to the state central committee that have the statutory authority, this has to flow from folks who, the people who elect them have to come from people who were put before all of us Republican voters. And it's called a state's interest. And it is a state's interest. If we want to get rid of that state's interest, if the state party wants to get rid of that state interest, then when we have a vacancy, it needs to go to an immediate special election, which will cost the state money. That's what we'll have to do, is say, okay, fine, we're going to strip all that out. And I'm going to say this now. I suspect we'll see legislation in the next session where the party tries to change the law. To do maybe that, I don't know, but they're going to try to do something. They're going to try to eliminate all of Title 22, all the parts in there about their statutory authority, or they won't, right? And if they do, it'll affect both parties, because both parties, the two major parties in the state, are under the same statute. So that's fine. If they want to do that, then they should do that, because you can't have it both ways. And right now, they are completely acting inappropriately, irresponsibly, illegally by thwarting state law. You can't have it both ways. Now, legally speaking, the freedom of association, like I said, protects the party from certain government interference. And it's very narrowly defined what they can interfere with by defining it. But that's because of this, as I said, state's interest. When the party steps into the role of nominating someone, there's the state interest. And I think there should be state interest. Of course there should. Because when you're executing a public duty, you play by public rules. I mean, it's no different than when you use taxpayer dollars. It's the same thing, period. And frankly, why would anyone want it any other way? I've never heard or seen a great explanation about why, other than, well, we can't find enough people, which is just simply not true. I mean, it isn't true. And if you can't find more people, there's a bigger problem. Because the party itself should be growing Republican voters, not decreasing them. So if you're struggling to find people that want to do this, you may take a hard look at what you're offering people, what you're doing. Because, I mean, that's the only explanation. Otherwise, I don't understand why they'd want to do this. What are they really saying about, when they demand total control, but they don't want any transparency. They don't want any accountability. Well, it seems like what they're saying is that you want to run a political fiefdom in the dark, right? Which is not how we should be running these things as Republicans. Well, I mean, yeah, we should not. I mean, this is the path these people are taking. And I will predict now that if they achieve their goal, if the GOP starts, if the Republican Party decides to go completely as a private organization, I think they will continue to see numbers dwindling inside each of these county party organizations. They're going to continue to see the dwindling number of voters going to the polls. And we may well start seeing a real and true losing of races across the state. Because spreading Republicanism, just like our opposition party understands, is a full-time, constant duty. It's a constant refreshing. It's a constant going out and talking to people about why our party principles, why the principles are so important, and why electing folks are so important. And they're not doing that work. And let me just say this, requiring that members of the state central committee be people who are elected by the Republican voters in their precinct is not asking too much. I mean, it's not. That's not a burden. That's representative government. It's the gold standard. So why is the state trying to get rid of the gold standard? I mean, what are they trying to accomplish? Why are they so afraid to let voters choose who represents them inside the party? Let's not forget the Republican Party's number one responsibility, again, is to elect Republicans, to talk to voters, to win elections. That's the job. And right now, they're just not doing it. They are obsessed with controlling the private machinery of the party. They're obsessed with narrowing participation. They're obsessed with closing doors. They're obsessed with locking out dissent, all while ignoring the broader mission. It is no wonder that the Freedom Caucus has stepped in from D.C. and started racking up wins. The GOP has been asleep at the wheel or complicit in handing over their job to outside donors and outside consultants and outside money groups. That's just the truth. So let me sum this up pretty quickly. You can't be a private club as long as there's statutory authority on the books. And that's where we're at. They can change it, sure. They can change it, but it's going to take time. I mean, it's going to take time. It's going to take litigation. It's going to be expensive. Or they're going to have to go to the legislature and try to put it through. And they're going to have open public debate and try to answer questions about why they're trying to do this. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's a lawyer's paradise right now for the Wyoming Republican Party's actions, because sloppy, sloppy lawmaking, sloppy, sloppy party decisions are causing a lot of litigation, and it'll continue to happen. Okay, so I'm going to quickly get going here and wrap this up. The state GOP is meeting up in Cody. Right now, there's another, so just like the Uinta case, there's a case in Hot Springs County this year, just like in Uinta County, that went all the way to the Supreme Court, where the state party stepped in and said, hey, you didn't use these non-elected people. So what happened up there was they're objecting to two of the three positions, the chairman and the state committee man. And they're saying that the state committee man actually won by, it was a tie and it was won by a coin toss, so purely by luck. But the state party said, no, that doesn't count. Why? Well, Hot Springs counties didn't follow the state diktat and didn't allow these two non-elected people to vote. And let me be clear, the two non-elected people who were allowed to vote after they had to go to the dispute resolution committee, which I will talk about in a bit, they were insiders. They were the insiders who voted to let the people in power right now stay in power, right? So I can assure you that if the coin toss had gone the other way and their people had won, they would never have objected to that one. They didn't object to the state committee woman because it's one of their people. This is how they're doing it, folks. Think about that. Think about Uinta County. Think about the votes they harvested, they found by using non-elected people so that they could hold power. They just did it in Hot Springs County. That's what this is about. Let's be very clear. These elections are really tight in these counties. It wasn't Uinta. It was just as tight in Hot Springs, both of them. So the party came in and stripped them. They came in by using this dispute resolution committee. Which leads me to my next point, and I know we're 27 minutes into this, and I'll try to be quick. There's a group of folks going up to Cody who are running for these state office holders. And I hope that some of these folks realize that what's going on is that the party seems to be hostile to the very idea of voter choice, hostile to the idea that people should go before the voters to be elected, and though those people should be the supreme decision makers in the party from the county level up, because you know voting matters. And what they've created is chaos. And at the core of all this chaos is something that I think deserves serious attention. And this is that the party does not seem to know how to lead or build a healthy organization, and how to deal with conflict. That is so obvious. If you're looking for a textbook example of what not to do, if you want a masterclass in dysfunction, look no further than the Wyoming Republican Party over the past 5 or 6 years. I can point to the lawsuits, the strife, the name-calling, the ugly divisiveness, the nastiness you see on social media amongst members of the State Central Committee, and you will see any professional worth their salt would look at that and say, yeah, something's clearly wrong. So let's talk about that. Okay, let's talk about it, because conflict handled well is not a sign of failure. It's a sign of life, right? Ronald Reagan said in 1982, peace is not the absence of conflict, but the ability to cope with conflict by peaceful means, right? That's the hallmark of any healthy organization. If you've worked for one, if you've been a leader in one, if you know exactly what this is. The conflict needs to be resolved, not suppressed. and that conflict is everywhere, right? I mean, it's, we all know this. Listen, if you're married, you understand conflict, right? Married couples argue, teams debate, siblings bicker, businesses clash. It does not mean the marriage, the business, the team, the company's broken. Conflict doesn't break organizations. It doesn't break anything. It's the way you handle conflict. If you ignore it, it festers. If you indulge it, it utterly explodes. You have to manage it professionally. And there's just some basic things. Number one, so I'm just going to talk about these real quick. Number one, because there's, if you understand conflict resolution, it really is a masterclass in the Republican Party, because these are all the things they do not do. Okay. Number one, you have to separate the issue from the individual. That's one of the most important things. It's number one for a reason. You have to separate the issue from the individual. So whether you're in your county party, the state party, or in a campaign, when conflict happens, if you interpret it as a personal attack, or if you attack somebody personally because of it, you've already lost. If somebody disagrees with your idea, it's not an attack on you. If somebody criticizes your position, it's not a judgment of your worth. Okay. Once you take the issue personally, you stop solving the problem and you start waging war. That is a description of the party right now and the insiders to an absolute T. But that's how organizations implode. So too many people inside the GOP seem to have forgotten this or never learned it, and they all need to learn it. That whole organization could benefit tremendously from like a weekend retreat, understanding and learning about conflict. I mean, I'll be honest, from conversations I've had and from what I've seen on social media, there are people in the leadership who simply don't know how to handle conflict, and it is just so incredibly obvious. And they've learned by example from their leaders, which is to attack, attack, attack. Always, and I mean always, always they attack. So if you respond to a disagreement by feeling personally attacked, you've internalized the issue and it's not healthy or productive. It's a big red flag, right? When conflict arises, you got to strip down the facts and just get to that. What's happening? What is the issue? How do we solve it? What are the solutions? But if you start out with, he's a rhino, she's difficult, he's a liberal, they're not with us, that's not leadership. That's emotional immaturity wrapped in tribal branding. It's tribalism. You talk about actions, not personalities. The Wyoming GOP has been mired in personal attacks for years, not disagreements over policy. I mean, how many people, if you pay attention to the state party, how many of us can say honestly that we'd want to take a teenager out to these and sit and let them listen because we think they're going to learn something amazing about an issue with lots of very civil debate like you see in the legislature back and forth? None of us. We probably do that. None of us. Right? I mean, right now, in these leadership elections at the state party level, there's two people running for the state chairman, because the current state chairman is not running. One of the candidates has said that she wants something close to 100% agreement. I mean, I know the party has an 80-20 rule to be considered a platform Republican, which that's a conversation for a whole other time. But personally, to be making comments that you think something close to or even 100% agreement is even possible is cuckoosville. There's not a functional organization out there. There's not a Fortune 500 company. I mean, NASA people put all people on the moon have never had total agreement. That's not consensus. It's a cult behavior. Do you know where total agreement shows up? Communist countries. It's fear-based. Refer to last week's podcast. It's fear-based. 100% agreement is unhealthy. It's so unhealthy. Debate is healthy. General George Patton has a great quote that I loved, so I wanted to use it here. If everyone is thinking alike, then somebody isn't thinking. And that's absolutely true. It's what mired communist countries into no innovation, into nothingness, because everyone had to think alike. True leadership invites diversity. There has to be diversity of ideas, because only through constructive disagreement can you sharpen good ideas and weed out bad ones, right? If you're not weeding out bad ideas, you're losing. So many in the party have made this mistake that I think they confuse criticism with betrayal. I think they see any kind of criticism as betrayal. That's insecurity. It's a lack of leadership. It's a lack of understanding about conflict. I mean, the Republican Party is not going to solve the nation's problems, but there are people that go to these meetings and think that that's all they're doing. There's a lot of very obviously boring and non-sexy administrative things that the state party should be doing, and they're not doing those things well. What they are doing really well is handling conflict really, really badly and living off of it. It is the bread and butter. It is their constant thing. How to mess up the other side. That's their constant thing. How to keep control, how to tamp down any dissent, how to stop any opposition. It's not healthy. So you got to separate the issue from the person. No more personal attacks. That's not healthy. You got to address conflict early. This is obvious. I mean, listen, I think we all probably know these. You got to be an active listener. If you don't know what active listening is, go look it up. Talk to a marriage counselor. They'll tell you active listening. Don't be listening so you can make your next point. Be actually listening to people. And you got to control your emotions. This is a big one. I mean, I've been to Republican meetings here in my county where literally a current legislator's spouse was screaming across the room. First of all, just personally, listen, if you're that upset about, you know, politics, you need to reassess your life. It's not healthy. It is not healthy to have that level of anger. It's just not. We live in the greatest country on the planet. And if you are getting that worked up, you need to reassess your life. If you can't control your emotions, you can't be doing conflict resolution. Focus on the solution, obviously. I mean, that's the obvious one. And I think it's hard to say this, but I think in some instances, the last point is probably the most important point. Sometimes you need outside help. Let's be honest. The dysfunction inside the state party is so baked in. I don't know if it's fixable without some outside help. Well, I mean, listen, there's new leadership this Saturday in Cody, there'll be new leadership, and perhaps that new leadership can really breathe some fresh air into the party and can really help to change things, switch things around. But if they can't, they might seriously consider some outside help. The party does have, ironically, and I wanted to hit this last before we go, the party does have something called the Dispute Resolution Committee, which I alluded to with the Hot Springs case. Hot Springs County was sent to the Dispute Resolution Committee, so was Park County during these recent March county elections. The party created this, and I think in a way, I think the intention was to handle conflict internally and professionally, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad idea, but what's happened is the whole thing has been bastardized into something out of like a dystopian novel, this committee. So you're dragged into this committee, which I call a tribunal, because you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement. You're threatened with all these lawsuits. You can't talk about it. You can't bring any kind of representation. The entire process is done in the dark. I have asked folks who've talked to state central committee members who do not know who the members of the dispute resolution committee are. Let me just repeat that. People don't know who the members of the Dispute Resolution Committee are. That is a tribunal straight out of the Soviet Union, folks. This has been bastardized, this idea. This is how the current state party took on conflict, by creating this and then bastardizing it into this thing. It is a political tribunal. You are summoned. You are forced to sign these non-disclosures. You are told you're going to be sued if you do anything, if you talk about it, if you blah, 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 right? You can't bring any kind of representation. It's all done in the dark. What I jokingly say about it, it's not a joke, but you have to laugh because it's just so bad. It's like the Hunger Games. Counties in Wyoming, Republican parties in the counties, guys, just hear me out. It's like the Hunger Games. The odds are never in your favor, okay? The odds are never going to be in your favor. Let's be crystal clear. When the state party says you have to come to the dispute resolution committee, you've been summoned, you're toast. You're going to lose. You're done. The odds are never in your favor. Your only option at that point is to step outside the party and go to the courts. And that's what's been happening. That's what's been happening. That is why the state party has been imploding. That is why all we have seen is, you know, litigation and strife and problems. The Republican Party needs to learn this. The goal isn't to win against all these people. The goal is to keep this party afloat. It's to create a political place where strong ideas, strong people, and strong relationships can survive these hard conversations. And they have not done that. If you attend a state party meeting, what you'll see is broken friendships, broken trust, and broken communication. Well, there's friends there, on the one side, there's friends, but there are people there that they consider their absolute mortal enemies. That's not healthy. It's not sustainable, and it's not Republican. What's happening isn't conflict resolution, it's conflict acceleration. And the party isn't fixing it. They're making it worse. That's the problem. That's the pattern. That's what you see. Anybody professional in this, or you know, in this line of work, conflict resolution and leadership will tell you, creating, you know, leadership wants to create a fair playing field. That's one of the most important things. A functional, open team would be a fair playing field for everybody. And that's not what they do. Again, as General Patton said, if everyone is thinking alike, then somebody isn't thinking. Total agreement is not the goal here, and you're never going to get that. Well, the only way you're going to get it is fear and suppression. That's how you're going to get it. What the GOP should do is to bring in folks, have folks in there that understand what conflict resolution looks like, and to really work to strive as their number one goal to bring these strong ideas together, have strong people together, and let them argue passionately and then walk away friends, right? That takes real leadership. And it's hard. It's very hard. So we'll see. We've got these elections. I think the party's lost sight of so much of who they are, who they work for, and what they do. I think they've lost sight of that. I don't think they're mission focused at all. And I think they need to be. So I'll report back next week about what went down there. But until then, I hope you all have a great week. It's gloriously beautiful out here. Although I will say it has been a little cold on my walks. We had frost the other morning. So to whoever controls the Wyoming weather, please note, I did not approve the frost. I have lilacs ready to bloom. Let's not ruin spring here, folks. Okay, take care, everybody. Have a great, wonderful weekend here in Wyoming.